Blog Talk Radio.
God happens. Yo. PDA, I need you to flip this. Come on.
I can see it now. My life was breaking down. Lost and so ungrateful. And I'm faithful. So hurt so many.
Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everyone. I am Apostle Shalene Cook, and it truly blesses my soul to welcome you all here to another installation of Wounded No More for this Thursday, June the 8th, 2023. Now, my brothers and sisters, your anointed and truly gifted host and facilitator, Pastor Vanessa Carver, is a longtime contributor here at Spirit Alive. She is a wife, a mother. She is a pastor. She is a prophet. She is also anointed in intercession. So my brothers and sisters, as I have said, please get something to write with and write on and prepare to receive the mighty woman of God in the person of Pastor Vanessa Carver. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Apostle Cook, for that introduction. And good evening, everybody. Welcome back to the show. As you recall, maybe the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the spirit of rejection. This is installation three, part three. The first week, we start to define. We were defining the spirit of rejection. We talked about the origin of rejection as it pertains to many things. Generational, we talked about before you're born, how rejection can enter the womb. We talked about domestic abuse, any type of abuse. We also talked about even a perceived experience of the spirit of rejection when somebody is dealing with betrayal. That's real. That's not perceived. But sometimes people that have been rejected in a big way begin to have perceptions of rejection. And of course, we'll tie all that together. The second week, we basically focused on one of those areas, which had to do with cultural and social and ethnic rejection. And that's a huge topic. A lot of these topics that I will cover about the spirit of rejection, I'm just scraping the surface, barely, because you would have to really, if you're led to go into a deeper study of this, in your life, not just for you, but in your ministry, to be able to root it out. So today we're going to talk about deliverance. But before, deliverance from what? Not just the spirit of rejection, but how that spirit manifests and how it creates levels of bondage in your life. But first, I want to start with a word of prayer. I just thank you, Father, today for you being here in this session. I thank you, Lord, today that I will decrease as you increase, that you will speak purely, I will speak purely from your heart, not my heart. I thank you for the power of your word. I thank you for the power of the rhema, especially that will be spoken today, and that it will, we will be grace on those who hear it. It won't be anything that triggers or hinders them or makes them heavy, but it'll be graceful. Thank you, Lord, today for opening up the eyes of their heart so that they can begin to heal. And for those who are in the midst, who are in the middle of healing, who are in the process of healing, I pray, Lord, that their healing be more rewarding and that you give them more strength, that they gain strength from what they're going to hear today. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Mm-hmm. Now, many people that deal with this spirit of rejection on any level, if you are a child of God because you are a covenant believer, you basically have access to healing, to that relationship. That relationship with God actually is going to generate you wanting to be more effective, to be in relationship with him so that you can serve better, so that you can grow spiritually. I think we become very sensitive the longer that we're saved and walking with God to the things that are wrong within us. If we're honest, it is sometimes where you just start pointing fingers at everything and everybody else. But if you're able to do that, then it does not, it should not escape the fact that you're able to see the things in your own life that need to be addressed. The rejection Amen. Is one of those things. Mm-hmm. Rejection is one of those things because, as we know, if we're human, which we are, it's almost like you can't escape this. We are going tonight to talk about all the different ways that this spirit manifests as it pertains to the demonic realm. We really are. I'm not going to make it so deep or so spooky that you can't understand it, because we need to understand that Jesus came and died for us to be free. So who the Son is set free, he is free indeed. You don't have to be possessed by these things, but some people are oppressed. I know I was oppressed with a lot of these things, and still sometimes struggle with them. So it's like you got to see what's free. We're also going to be talking about not just but deliverance from it. I'm going to touch on that, and I'm going to go a lot deeper in the next session about deliverance and the process of deliverance. But first, let's begin to talk about what the spirit of rejection can look like when it is manifested and has been deeply rooted in your life. I am also just want you to know that I've referenced different books from time to time, and today I'm going to reference once again John Eckert's, Pastor Eckert's book, Destroying the Spirit of Rejection. That's what we're here to do. What you don't know, you can't destroy. When things get exposed, you can begin to address them and not feel guilt or shame. Now, that's one of the things that Jesus died for, so that we can be free from guilt and shame. So don't be feeling guilt and shame about if any of these things you realize you're struggling with, or you realize the remnants are still there, residual. We are God's covenant people. One of the things that this spirit does, and if you put it under this umbrella, it steals your identity. I consider the spirit of rejection one of the assassins and one of the mercenaries of our identity in Christ. And I bet all of us can think of a different mercenary, but this is a big one to me. It is assassin is sent on assignment. I just think of anything. When you think of a mercenary, they're hired to kill, right? And when we think right. of this spirit, it is hired to destroy. It was created to destroy us and destroy our identity. We might be existing, right? We might be serving even, but if we're struggling with our identity in Christ, that's a problem. And that's what this spirit does. So first of all, we're going to talk about the spirit of the demonic spirits associated with rejection. First one is insecurity. A person who has been rejected, shot down, and disappointed and denied will often have these feelings about their worth and their value. You know what? I remember when I started to define this word and I talked about being discounted and being devalued. It's almost like you're on sale. Like you have low value worth. You're not worth too much. Insecurity is created from these things. How you feel about yourself. Many times you lack confidence, and sometimes you see levels of low self-esteem. One of the scriptures that comes to mind is, for those who he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son in order that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So we have to understand that he knew us before we knew us. In Psalms 139:14, I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. I think that, and then we all can think of a scripture to counteract. Think of anything that can counteract the spirit of insecurity, and then that's one of the ways we're going to destroy the spirit of rejection. Who is God saying that you are? You know, he loves us. Nothing separates. Something that's loved is valuable, y'all. And one of the things I think of scriptures, nothing can separate us from his love. Nothing, no height, no depth, nothing separates us from him loving us. Now, we may not be very receptive to that love, but he loves us. And because of that in itself, we are valuable. We are valuable. The lowest person in society is loved by God. No matter how rejected they may feel, no matter what they're going through, they are loved. And something that's loved is valued. And he takes care of us because of that. But that's one of the things. So we're going to build up our confidence in who we are in Christ. Who we are in Christ is a lot. It will help us to be able to eradicate and be able to tear down that spirit of insecurity or feeling less than or inferiority. You don't think that you're much. You don't think you can do much. You don't think what you're doing is much, but you know what that comes from? That's one of the offshoots or the products of the spirit of rejection. The next one we're going to talk about is depression. Now, we've done shows, Apostle Cook on here on Spirit Alive, about depression. We've had series about the spirit of depression or spirit of heaviness. It's the opposite of joy, finding out what your joy is. I remember when God started dealing with me and had me real, you know, I was going through a lot of healing at the time, and I just came to the realization. It was almost like it was such a huge eye-opening thing. I realized I had no joy, none, absolutely none. And the more that I realized it, the more sadder I became, or just heartbroken that I didn't have any joy, because I realized that the joy that I was searching for came from him only. But you know what? The more that I began to heal, the more that I realized, first of all, what joy really was. And so when we're depressed, the spirit of rejection, you'll find yourself dealing with that. It wears you down. You know, sometimes people, it wears you down. They even have studies now saying that the spirit of that depression can create things in your body. Like you literally feel fatigued. You really feel like it affects your bones. It affects your bones.
Man.
And I was like, wow. It's people become overwhelmed by the things they go through in their life, and they become depressed. Now, listen, all of us can say, yeah, I've gone through some depression, but I think what we're starting to see now, especially with our young people, are that they are being oppressed by the spirit of depression. It's horrible. Some of them can't even get out of bed. They can't, and they deal with this for long periods of time. Now, depending on what they're going through, you know, the sleeplessness, some people end up in some type of addiction and drug abuse, and the spirit of suicide hovers over them as well. This is a spirit I hate, because I think that we all have moments of depression, or maybe even seasons of depression. I went through that, but I'm like, I refuse to sit back here. I started getting mad when that spirit would try to kill me. Lately, I think in the last 5 to 10 years, I didn't recognize it, and I don't go and find it. Sometimes it comes and visits me, you know, like, because it gets you to a place where you're unthankful. But where is the joy? When I look in the scriptures, which there are so many scriptures about depression that come against the spirit of depression, I think of Psalms 42 and 11. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil with me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Now, I picked that scripture because the hope part, you know, the level of hopelessness that comes from joy. And then I had to do some self-talk, some positive self-talk, because I had told myself I didn't have any joy, and the devil was adding to it. You know, what you confess, he will. So you need to confess life. Speak life over yourself, no matter what you feel like, because what happens is when you speak death, he'll chime in and he'll add in. And then next thing you know, you're dealing with a bunch of a real heavy spirit. It's hard to even think straight. But when I begin to just say, Lord, I don't have joy. I don't know where joy is and this and that. He says, you do have joy. And he had told me the things to think on. He told me, he revealed to me and reminded me where joy resides. And it's not based upon always being happy. You know that song by Pharrell called Happy that got really popular a couple of years back? Happiness flees. It's temporary, but joy is always there. God's peace is always there. And so he had to teach me that joy was there, but it was buried under all this stuff. I had the Holy Spirit. He said, you do have joy. He said, you forgot what it was and where to find it in me. No matter what you're suffering, do you know you still can have joy? You know, the spirit of rejection will make you feel like you're going to be depressed for the rest of your life, because your life is never going to get any better. And I've heard people confess that because they don't know how to, in Christ, they don't know how to suffer well. And they're always feeling like, or defining, well, this is, God wants me to go through this, so he must not like me very much. What is the point of me suffering? And so when you find joy, or when you, and it doesn't really go anywhere, when you find joy from through your life in Christ, it really creates a quick turnaround. You might have days or hours even where you just get real, real heavy. And when you begin to read his word or listen to praise and worship or just read his word, read it out loud or listen to a sermon, you will find strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And I feel like we find strength when we find joy. But see, this is one of the things that the spirit of rejection produces is a spirit of depression. And I pray, and of course, there's all these other manifestations like drug abuse, suicide, sleeplessness, anxiety, you know, discouragement, and so, and hopelessness, which is why I like Psalms 42 and 11. Now, this next spirit has to do with perfectionism, you know, being a perfectionist, seeking validation through people, man, and, you know, that usually leads to man-pleasing. Some people have suffered rejection, and they try to win, constantly trying to win approval. They try to perform tasks or assignments perfectly. Have you ever talked to somebody, and you never stop to think, oh, somebody says, well, you know, I'm a perfectionist, and that's why I don't do this or why I do it this way. And at first, I was just, oh, they just want things to be done right. But the more that I looked into that spirit, that was about pleasing and feeling good enough. See, that goes all the way back to the one we just mentioned about insecurity and inferiority. And what you'll see is a lot of these spirits are bedfellows. They're together. They in clusters, usually. So when you've got somebody dealing with perfectionism, more than likely they're probably dealing with inferiority or insecurity in some kind of way, maybe at a small level. But the, like I said, these are clustered together, more than likely. They are always clustered together. They want to be accepted and they want to be loved. You know what, if you don't get your love or understand how you're loved by God through Christ and his sacrifice, nothing else compares to that. You know, just the other day, I was thinking about God's, I was just thinking about the story of how he created us. God created us. His original plan. I was just sitting on my bed just thinking about this. And it brought tears to my eyes and moved my heart because I'm like, his original plan was never that we should have to experience what sin produces. It never was. We were not the order. The order that he had for us, I'm like, he does really love us when we think about that. So many things are so out of order these days, and we think that's normal. We think God has, he's the author of that, but he's not. Sin is.
No.
And there's only, and that's why he sent Jesus to die for us. But when we think about his original plan, even in the garden, it grieved him that they did what they did. And it grieved them once they realized what they did and they never could get it back. But when Jesus died for us, that's the closest we can get. And yet we still live in a sinful world. But let's think about that. Maybe that doesn't move you like that moves me, but that let me know. I know a lot of people think about the crucifixion and that moved me. But this moved me when I thought about his original plan. Was never that we are to have a knowledge of good and evil.
That's right.
That's a lie. You can't handle that. He knew we couldn't handle that.
Mm-hmm.
Because he loved us and he was always protecting us and making us the best that we could be. So let me get off of that. But that just, that lets you know that that's one of the things when you understand order and that nothing that we do or can't do comes close to that. Trying to be a perfectionist in the total will of God, that's what perfection is and his purpose. And when you begin to study his word and you begin to understand his nature, then you understand how this spirit got to go. And then you also understand, or you will begin to understand, how it is totally straight from hell, the spirit of rejection, because of what it produces. So when you're walking in that, you need to be able to say, why am I trying to be perfect? Why has this become bondage in my life? What doors am I opening? Well, guess what? You can open doors to pride, ego, and vanity. And some of the, you know, OCD, a lot of times people think that's just a, where does that come from? You're trying to control something that you can't control, but it also comes from trying to be perfect, trying, rechecking others' work, being legalistic, mm-hmm. religious, having that Pharisaic spirit, being critical and judgmental, intolerant, frustrated, hypocritical. Unfortunately, people with this spirit, they force others to reject them. You know, they deal with that. They drive the rejection that they have because they are impossible to live with. They're difficult people. Perfectionists are. They're difficult people. So, but at the end of the day, I think they're just a wounded person that's struggling with the spirit of rejection and insecurity.
Yes. A lot of the time.
Not being able to please. A lot of times they are dealing with that spirit. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 11 and 28, he said, come to me, all who are weary and heavily burdened by religious rituals and provide no peace. I will give you rest, refreshing your souls with salvation. Take my yoke upon you and learn from, this is one of my favorite scriptures. Learn from me, following me as my disciple, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest, Jesus. You will find rest.
Renewal.
Blessed, quiet for your souls, for my yoke is easy to bear, and my burden is light. I read that in the Amplified Version.
Yeah.
It is one of my favorites because it speaks to me on so many levels. To be submitted, to come to him, all who are laboring, heavy laden, all who are depressed and oppressed, and I will give you rest. You know, people are tired, and that's sometimes I'm tired of being tired. I've said that myself many times. And the Holy Spirit said, don't just say that. What are you tired of? So he made me speak and dig into what I was tired from. I'm tired of myself. I just started telling him. So he will show you what you're allowing to oppress you. When he says, come to me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke and learn from me. I am gentle and lowly in heart. You will find rest for your souls. Nobody that's dealing with this spirit has any rest. You better believe it. None. And they do certain things to compensate for the fact that they are tired, for the fact that they feel less than, for the fact that they are that they feel bound, and they're still trying to control stuff and can't control. So I feel like that person is dealing with a level of affliction that they're not always aware of. And that, to me, it produces a lot of compassion for me. But usually those people won't let you help them because they don't think nothing's wrong with them.
Yes.
See. And it says in Galatians 3, are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, are you not perfected by the flesh? So, you know, Paul was talking to give you a little background. He was talking to the Galatians because they were starting to believe that they needed to be circumcised and listening to certain doctrines that totally took them out of their bondage. But he said, you know what? You being perfected by the flesh, where is that going to get you? You being bewitched by that. So when I think about a person struggling with this, they need to remember what the finished work that Jesus already did. You're not perfected by the things you do. You perfected because the sacrifice on Calvary.
What Jesus did.
Amen. He continues to make available to us. And that's enough. That is enough. The world makes us think it's not enough. And people sometimes think us makes it not enough. And it is more than enough, actually. Well, everything he does well. Now we're going to talk about pride, which includes, you know, your ego and compensation that helps. A spirit that needs compensation that helps sustain a look of success and confidence. It's like you're always trying to cover up. It's a strong man. It's a stubborn spirit. In many ways, it's not easy to uproot. It's not easy to uproot pride, especially when we live in a society that is always talking about pride. You know, this is Pride Month. So, and I'm talking about as it pertains for the certain homosexual community and transgender community, this is Pride Month. And I said, anything that's got pride, it ain't good. It ain't good. It's not good. So pride is a strong man. It's a hard demon. It's personified as Leviathan in the scripture. So when you see that spirit of Leviathan, read on further and study that, because that's a lot of ways how that spirit is manifesting. Versus being humble, right? And how important it is to be humble. When you're humble, you're teachable. That's the main thing I always remember. It's like, where's the humility here, Vanessa? Where you are you learning something? And you something you're supposed to get? Because you sure are prideful. It's rising up. And that spirit of rejection will create the lack of humility, true humility, not false humility.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important for us to be humble. If we're going to get to the other side, if we're going to be healed, if we're going to be more mature, if we're going to be fully developed, if we're going to be able to serve others well and excellent, right? So
yeah.
That's like, I always got something to learn. I'm sure I do, but when you're dealing with pride, you're not going to get too far. You're not going to be teachable, not by the Holy Spirit or by anybody else. You're not going to be teachable at all. You know, when the Holy Spirit really talks to you in a place of woundedness, he's helping you help yourself. So a lot of times he's helping you to see things you couldn't see. He'll reveal things, even if they're uncomfortable, because he loves us. He'll show you certain things. And if you're in denial, if he can't teach you or help you learn or unlearn something, you can forget it. It's going to be very, very difficult for you to move to the next place in your life, in your walk with the Lord. So now we're going to talk about this. This is another assassin, the spirit of fear. Oh, man, when you think about rejection, fear, it paralyzes you. The way that I like to talk about the spirit of fear is fight, flight, freeze, and fawn. You know, you've heard that when you talk about fear is present when you want to fight. Sometimes fear is present when you want to run and when you just freeze. And a lot of times I will say how it manifests in me is fear. Well, I want to fight. And the Lord was like, that's how you know it's there. What are you afraid of? What do you think you need to fight? You know, I just want to fight. I'm so mad I can fight, you know. And so fear includes a fear of seemingly small things or big things, you know, not just, you know, dogs. Some people are afraid of dogs or germs, or they're afraid of, you know, big crowds. But some people also have fears of success. They have fear of failure. They have fear of rejection. They have fear of accountability. They have fear of responsibility. It's not just the tangible, but it's the intangible. Many times it's the spirit of rejection that is behind that. You know, we know without faith it's impossible to please God. We also know that faith without works is dead.
Is dead. Yes.
So when we think about fear making us freeze or causing us to stop, fear of what? You know, get to the root of what the fear is. I notice that when you start to dismantle things, you got to understand what's there first. I'm just afraid. Why are you afraid? When you get down to those questions that have answers to get to actions, then you will be more on your way to healing than you realize. And a lot of times you need to talk to others. Some people will have counselors or therapists they talk to. Sometimes we have a brother or sister in Christ or somebody we're close to that we talk to. Sometimes it's just sitting and journaling and whatever. But I'm telling you, usually questions is one of the ways that we get down and chip away at the root of the fear. People are feared of, like I said, fear of success, fear of having money, fear of not having money. There are also extreme fears that have to do with, you know, PTSD and panic disorders. Do we ever stop to think that it comes from the spirit of rejection? The next one we're going to talk about is paranoia. Now, it's like I told you, they're akin to the things that I'm talking about. They're related to others. Paranoia, though, makes me think of somebody that's being tormented, thinking somebody is always after them. It even can be what we see now a lot of times, people saying, I have anxiety, I have anxiety, my anxiety, my anxiety.
Yes.
And stop saying it's yours. Do you want it? Why are you taking ownership of something you don't want? Stop saying my anxiety, my this, my that. That is my own personal beef. But I think paranoid personified because of disobedience. The spirit of rejection, you know, we need deliverance from that, because a lot of times we're in a place of paranoia is because we don't trust. What don't we trust? You know, even when it comes to us not trusting ourselves or not trusting people that God has put in our life for a reason, I don't trust them. And not only that, they're going to do this. You have these imaginations of things they can do to you, obsessed and thinking you're so important that somebody's after you. You know, it can get really bad with the spirit of paranoia because you don't trust. The spirit of rejection can create these levels. And that's when it becomes demonic level, the presence, because it will shut you down. Paranoia will have you in a place where you may even have a schizophrenic disorder. It can be you can be seen in blaming others, accusation, delusional accusation, suspicion. That's rooted what? What did we just get done talking about? It's rooted in fear.
Mm-hmm.
It's rooted in fear. When you see one, you see the other. If you see the way that I'm talking about these different spirits, see the progression of some of them. Some of them start very base, and then they get bigger, and they become more developed. Paranoia is just a higher developed issue with the spirit of fear. But, you know, God gave us, we should trust him. It says trust no man. We should trust God. And at the level of what he's saying trust is, we need to know how to operate. Don't operate in the spirit of fear. Well, I don't trust him, and that's why I do this, or that's why I don't do this, because I don't trust him, and I don't trust, you know. And sometimes when you really get down to it, you don't trust God either. And if that's the case, and that's something you're dealing with, and you realize it's because of the things you've gone through, it's because of your lack of faith, it's because of your lack of trust, and you know it has to do with rejection. The last time I trusted somebody, this happened to me. The last time I trusted somebody, this happened to me. That happened to me. God, you told me to trust you, and this happened. Sometimes it's our issues with God more so than it is with people. Why we become very paranoid. Also become paranoid because of lies. And what I mean by that is when you listen to that demonic spirit every day, all day talking to you, first of all, it's lies. It has nothing to do with truth. It becomes very difficult for them to even recognize truth, because they're not taking those thoughts captive and slapping them down and then getting
right.
in the word. So they begin to become confused about what they're hearing, or what they're, was that God or was that me? One of the things that when you hear that, you know, when you hear that from someone who's been in the word not that long, to me that's almost a normal question. They have to learn to just study the word, and they'll recognize the voice and the presence of God. But when you hear that from somebody who's been walking with God for a long time, I'm like, you know, go back to those disciplines, those sacred disciplines, get in your word, take some time, consecrate, and you'll be able to distinguish between you, yourself speaking and God speaking, or somebody else, you know, or some demonic spirits too. A lot of times, nobody may not want to hear this, but it's not the devil talking to us, it's us talking to us.
Come on.
Amen.
You know, it's the devil. It's sometimes us. And that,
Amen.
To me, all that means is that you need to do some work. You need to avail yourself and submit yourself to the will of God so you can shut down them voices or those sounds or whatever you're hearing. The devil's like, I don't got to do nothing but sit up here and fold my hands and look at them doing that to themselves.
And let you do it to yourself.
And he will let you do it all day long and add to it.
Amen.
Because you have...
Ooh.
He has access. You start talking all that negative stuff over yourself or somebody else, he's like, oh, yeah, and yeah, and they did this. And I was like, okay, God, you need to be quiet. he will. He'll egg you on and everything else.
Yeah.
So let's be careful what we're listening to. Let's be careful of shutting down those voices. You know, take every thought captive and subject it to the obedience of Christ. Why am I even thinking this in the first place? That's sometimes how I got to look at myself. What? Why are you thinking that, Vanessa? Why? Where is this coming from? I get angry sometimes because I realize, do the work. Do the work.
Mm-hmm.
Do what you need
work.
To do. Don't be
mm-hmm.
passive
yeah.
about letting any thought come through you. If you are dealing with that and it's manifesting in that way, don't have guilt and shame about it. Deal with it. You have power from the Holy Spirit. We have power.
Yeah.
To slap that stuff down and be done with it. Replace it with the word. Renew ourselves with the word. These next two are really, people don't think that this has indecision. When you're indecisive, procrastinating, making compromises you shouldn't make, just forgetfulness, indifference, indecision is one of the most debilitating problems that we see with this spirit, because it totally shuts you down. You don't do anything. You're just like in a rocking chair. You think you're going somewhere, but you're not. It's a delusion of thinking you're moving and you're not. Indecisive people drive me crazy. I said indecisive people drive you crazy. But Procrastination is another way of avoiding, so that it's usually fear. If you think about indecisiveness, okay, what restaurant do you want to go to, or do you want to buy this or not? Not in that level. This is on the level of, you know, demonic manifesting. Yeah, it's really, it shuts you down because you don't want to do anything. When you think about people not making a decision, guess what? You're making a decision to not make a decision.
Yes, not making a decision is a decision. Amen.
Is right.
Glory to God.
And it's an attitude that causes the first person to avoid making decisions. They don't make decisions, or they won't let you, you know, it shuts you all the way down. Mm-hmm. There's a level of, I think, helplessness as well when you think about somebody that's bound by this. They won't make, and they're afraid to make decisions, and they'll tell you that. So there's indecisiveness, and guess what? The indecisiveness basically is a level of passivity. It's passivity when you don't make decisions. When you're passive, and I think Apostle Cook has talked about being passive in how we serve or what we do and when we see certain things, and we have to be about the business of God. We have to be more active. Passive can cause listlessness. That's another thing that goes all the way back to what I talked about earlier with the spirit of what? Depression, right? And it's continuous, continuous sadness, crying. You feel defeated. Sometimes you have a lot of fatigue, guilt, heartache, and constant heartbreak, hopelessness as well. Anything that you can think of that is connected to depression, passivity is as well. Mourning. Yes. That's why you have to be careful of grieving too long. There's grief, and then there's the spirit of grief. I think that it makes you very passive and you fall into all kinds of depression. Many times a person fighting this will feel as though they're in a, they'll call it a funk, or I'm just not motivated or whatever. But it's prolonged. It's like long. It just
won't move. Too long.
I've often thought that being lethargic causes you to withdraw. Kind of sometimes you isolate. To reach a higher place, we have to be more assertive. So, you know, we have to understand. First of all, we got to recognize, why am I being passive about this? Sometimes when I pray for people and pray over myself, I say, Lord, energize me, refresh me. Your word, His word does refresh us a lot of times when we read it. When we read it out loud or when we listen to a great teaching, that's our refreshing. We get refreshed. We get energized. We get back on the right page, right? Passivity combined with the spirit because of depression and fear, you'll be passive. You'll stay in this funk. You'll be slow. I call it slowly giving up. Not just giving up, but slowly giving up is being passive about everything. And there's a level of helplessness in this one, too. You just, I don't know how to come out of this. Well, one of the things, I was talking to a friend of mine who was dealing with this, and I said, do you want to? Do you want to?
I said,
because the fact is, if you want to, that's where it starts. That's where God can say, good. Now you got to where I can help because you want to. Well, I don't know how. Don't matter if you don't know how. Don't matter if you don't know how. Do you want to? Do you want to?
Amen.
Do you want to be free from rejection? Yes, I'm sick of this. I want to be free from this and everything associated with it. How do I do this?
Yes.
And instead of saying, I don't know how, don't matter if you don't know how.
Amen.
All you have to do is say, Lord, start with saying, I want to be free from this for real. I don't even know what that's going to look like in my life, but I want to. I'm ready. When a person, and you can't make somebody want this. To be free. And that's what I realized.
Amen.
They may not be ready. Amen. You have to leave them all the way alone in some cases because of that spirit to oppress, to be that's heavy, that's full of fear, that's full of distrust, that's full of paranoia. When it, pray from them from a place where God tells you to pray from them. But when they're ready, they're ready. But I think the first thing I said, do you want to? Because if you want to, He'll help you. He'll send the right people. He'll help you. He will help you.
Yes.
I'm a witness. I am a
Amen.
Witness. So the next thing we're going to talk about is fairness and mercy. Well, we're talking about unfairness, fighting for, you know, people that have this strong sense of justice. It's not a bad thing. But when it gets over, see, this is one of those things I have to be careful how I explain it because I don't want people to misunderstand me. Well, we talked about the spirit of pride, right? So when you talk about the spirit of pride or fighting for justice, whether it's because I'm a woman or because I'm an African-American woman or because I'm an older African-American woman, there are all these different causes, right, to stand behind. Well, when you're dealing with or a person that's been abused, so I stand up for domestic abuse. Awesome, wonderful, because I was abused and God came me out of this. We have to be careful of trauma bonding. We have to be careful of this thing about unfairness and feeling like you're always a victim, always wanting to fight because you're afraid of being taken advantage of. You see how I'm tying all this back in? Because of this,
mm-hmm.
so fighting for
mm-hmm.
certain things becomes the driving force for some rejected people. They always got to be behind a cause. But if that gets out, if that gets to become too high-pitched, you know what I mean? You got to have a level
mm-hmm.
of discernment where you realize some of this is a little bit out of order. It's not okay. It's not wrong to stand up for things in our society that are wrong, like as it pertains to maybe the homeless or maybe women or children or whatever the case may be. Because of how they've been treated, they feel that way. So they still, even though they're big cheerleaders or they're big advocates, they still have this spirit of rejection playing in the background. You see what
mm-hmm.
I mean?
Sometimes.
It's the undercurrent of what they do.
Yes.
Because at the end of the day, they still feel like they're a victim, and they recognize other victims, and I'm going to fight for the victims. And it's like, okay, well, be careful what's driving that. Be careful what's driving that.
Yeah.
Be merciful to people. Because when you have no empathy mm-hmm. because of what you went through, you have no mercy. My husband talked to me about that, and I think he taught about that, about be merciful, Vanessa.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what do you mean be merciful, you know? And he was like, he explained it to me through the word. But I didn't know I was doing that. When I was going so hard on certain things, it was because I was still feeling like I was a victim. It was like real. I was like, man, I got to step all the way back and look at this through the eyes of God. So when he got my attention, he didn't really make me mad because when he was speaking, the way he said it, he was just quoting scriptures. He was like, well, you know, talking casually, talks about being merciful. And I'm like,
mm-hmm.
merciful for what? Do you see what's going on? You know, but it stuck with me for days, y'all. And when it stuck with me for days, I knew God was saying, you do need to be merciful.
Glory.
Yes.
What is behind all this passion?
Yes, Lord.
Everything's
yeah.
unfair. And they're doing this to us because we're black. And they're doing this because I'm, you know, just foolish, just constant. Constant. Not that these things don't, but there was a level, let me see, a smidgen. It was too much. 11, I'd say, a bitterness and anger there. And rebellion, even. And resentment there. And that let me know I was still struggling with feeling like I was a victim, dealing with what? The spirit of rejection.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh my goodness, good Lord. Okay. So there's a couple more, but I'm not going to go over them because I want to end with prayer and then I want to open it up. But I hope everybody, now listen, everything that we talked about, there is a counter scripture with it. I did give you some. But I want you to go yourself, and if any of these things kind of rang true with you or you want to deal with more of them, go to the scriptures that talks about the spirit of fear, of pride,
mm-hmm.
of being depressed. If you're dealing with insecurity and inferiority, what does the scripture say about that? What's the counter scripture to that? Do the work. Start
mm-hmm.
there. Maybe for you tonight, it would be to cry out to God and say, I want to be free from this spirit of rejection. It is tainted who I am in Christ. One day I know who I am. The next day I don't. What's going on? You know? And so you just want to be more solid. You know, we have to contend for the faith. The darker the days get on the earth and all these evil ideologies and schemes and plans, we need to know who we are so that we can contend for the faith. Well, you don't know who you are, you know, not just scripture and verse. If it's not on the inside of you because you're struggling with, and every time you get an opportunity or you can't even recognize opportunity or God-given orchestrating his divine purposes and will in your life because you still struggle with that. That ain't for me. That's for so-and-so. That's for sister. That's for Apostle Cook. That ain't for me. No, because she, you know, she can do this and she's done this. That's for her. No, that's for my husband.
That's for everybody.
He said, that ain't for me. And God's like, yeah, it is for you. How many people I got to bring to you to tell you that?
How many ways do
I have to tell you that? So I just want everybody to be encouraged. I do apologize for my tone. I don't like hollering at people, and I don't like to be hollered at. But I think that when people understand what I'm, the level of the passion, how we don't have to live this way. We do not have to live this way. We really don't. We need to remind ourselves, take some time with God, take some time with his word, and begin to be gentle with yourself by being honest with yourself. You know, everybody talks about self-care all day, every day. But if it's not to do with your soul and Christ, that to me, what's the point of self-care?
Come on.
What's the point of it? It's almost like it's narcissistic in a way because it's not dealing with our imperfections. It's not helping us to be better, to love other people. It's not helping us to walk in love. It's not helping us, you know, so be purposed about what self-love is for you today, especially as it pertains to this topic. I could keep talking about this, but this is why I'm doing a series, because I'm just scratching the surface, even with the things that we're talking about tonight. But I want you to do the work, and I want you to be encouraged and know that not only are we all praying for you on this network, we believe you can be free.
Amen.
We wouldn't be doing this if we did not.
Amen. Yeah.
So is there anybody that would like to leave a comment, and then I'll pray after the comments?
Everyone, if you are sitting in our gallery, everyone is already unmuted. We do have Spirit of Life family in the house, in the persons of Mother Mitchell, Apostle Zeta Flowers, and Bishop Lester Carver. Of course, we always welcome a word from them. But if you are sitting in the gallery and you would like to make a comment, simply introduce yourself and make your comment. If you're sitting in the chat rooms and you would like to type your comment, you can do that at this time, and I will relay it to Pastor Vanessa. Thank you so much. You can make your comments now. Anyone, if anyone has any,
Pastor Vanessa.
Go ahead, Bishop.
Mother Mitchell, it's all you.
Well, it'll be short. Pastor Vanessa, this study today has been so wonderful. I'm going to hit my head a couple of times because I missed the first two, but it's never too late when you get in on the Lord's word, God's word, wherever you get in on it at. It will serve its purpose for what it's supposed to do in your life. And I, one of the things I always say about myself is I always, always want to be teachable. When you stop learning, you are dead, but you're walking around, but you're dead. Because
Amen.
If you stop learning, nothing is building you up. And people will say, that I've said that to, they've said to me, but nothing's tearing you down. Well, what did you just say? If nothing's building you up, it may not be tearing you down, but you're not going anywhere. Your ear has stopped you dead in your tracks. And the only and the only thing more important to learn about fear than that it stops you in your tracks is do it afraid. If God says you can do it, do it. Now, you might not sound like nobody else. You might not do it like nobody else. But do something. Because if you keep letting fear stop you from doing anything, that's where you lie down and play dead. And the Lord didn't put us here to play dead. He put us here to uplift, encourage, support, do whatever we can for anybody we can, when we can, and however often we can. So when you stop learning, whether it's God or just reading a good book that somebody else wrote, and there's so many points in there that's so good. And, you know, Pastor Vanessa, you said something else. I'm going to cut off there because I'll be way down the track. Jesus, one of the things I know when I read the gospel is Jesus always asks questions. What are you doing? Why are you doing that? What are you doing? What did you say? You want me to do what? He's all, and he's everything. He's all. He knows the answer already. When he's asking you a question, it's not that he wants to know. He wants to tell you what he knows. He wants to know if you know the answer.
Yes,
because
exactly.
He's been telling you and talking to you about that answer for a long time, about fear and how you dealt with rejection from the time you were 5 days old to still now. And he's been asking you questions about that. Why did it happen in school like that? How was your day? What did you do? Why did you beat up a white girl in gym class because she put her hand in your face and you told her your black mama had never slapped you? And it took 3 grown people to get 1 skinny little old girl off of her. But, you know, it wasn't as much about her as it was about my insecurity. I just could not take that. And the Lord said, turn the other cheek. I wasn't turning no other cheek.
Amen.
Don't even think about putting your hand in my face to slap me, and when neither my mama or daddy, whose hand looks like mine, hasn't ever slapped me. No, not going to happen in this lifetime. So I had to pray about that because there was something said to me that was all right to do, but there was always also something said to me that wasn't right to do. You needed to handle that better. And you need to know why you didn't handle it better and you handled it the way you did. And I'm going to quit here. I'm going to wind this up. But, oh, there was so much and about fear and how failure can stop you in your tracks because it goes hand in hand with fear. You failed so many times, you just feel you can't succeed at anything anymore. And that's not right. God will help you succeed at anything you tell him you want to do if it's in his will for you.
Amen. All right.
So I will stop there because you'll let me speak again. But, oh, Sister Vanessa, this is so, so good. I don't know how to tell you.
Amen.
And I ain't even got over here about paranoia because I'm one of the paranoia people. But, you know, I tell people, I'm not paranoid because I want to be paranoid. I'm paranoid because people have done enough horrible things to me, and when I see it coming, you want to say it makes me paranoid. I say it makes me aware that the world isn't always what I need for it to be sometimes, and I'm not what I need to be what the world don't need sometimes. So
all right. Thank you,
baby. Q.
Amen.
Thank you.
All
thank
right, Bishop Lester.
Praise the Lord, Apostle Cook. I'll tell you, I was really blessed when I heard Vanessa just teaching her heart out, and it's a blessing to see how the Word of God truly makes a way for us to live a more than abundant life and to be free of our past. And to understand that you can't change the past. You can't change what happened. But when Jesus Christ asked those people who were ill for many years, would you be healed? Do you want to be healed?
Yes.
If they were of a mind to be healed, healing was available right then. But it was necessary that they wanted to be healed. I remember the story of Jabez in Chronicles and how God's just listing this list of people, and he stops and talks about this guy, Jabez, whose mother named him Pain because she bore him in pain. He prophesied that over his life. His name was, it meant pain. And he lived with this false prophecy for many years. And he got to the point where he wanted something else. And he asked God to expand his territory, to bless him greatly, and to do all these things and allow him not to cause pain, as was prophesied over him with his name from his mother. And God did everything he asked him for. He expanded his territory, he blessed him greatly, and he allowed him not to be the source of pain for others. So God says when we delight in his word, he gives us the desires of our heart. And when I think about what Jabez prayed for, that shows God's desire being within Jabez. Jabez wanted to be a blessing. He wanted to be blessed so he could be a blessing. He wanted not to cause harm to others. And God honored his prayer. Now, after, and that was before God gave his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, as payment for all of mankind's sin. So now that Jesus Christ has paid the price with his life, with his blood, with his broken body for our physical wholeness and for our freedom from sin, and so that we can live a more than abundant life and we can destroy the works of the devil. Now is the time to just say yes to God, to delight in God's word, to come in agreement with the desire that God has for us to live a more than abundant life and to prosper and be in health and to be more than conquerors through him who loved us. And I just want to thank you about that, because it takes a certain amount of courage to stand up to people who want to celebrate pain and celebrate their past and live in the place of the past. You can't control what your mother names you. When Jabez's mother named him Pride, not Pride, but Pain, and prophesied that for the entirety of his life, then he had to grow up
live with it.
He didn't want to live like that anymore. He had to reject that prophecy. He had nothing to do with. A lot of the things that happened to us in our life that are trauma, we didn't have any control over that. When I was hit by a car, I didn't have any control over that. But I'll tell you, God healed me. Many years later, 50 years later, there's no sign that I was ever hit by a car. You know, as a matter of fact, most of my wobbling around is from being 57 and not exercising as much as I need. Exercise more, right? But I'm telling you that more than abundant life is available. It's available for us to be free of past trauma and to understand that we can let it go, or we can stay in the past and stay hostages to ourselves and the devil. So thank you again, Pastor Vanessa, and thank you, Apostle Cook.
Amen. Anyone else? Apostle Flowers, would you like to have a word? Okay. I think we're clear, Pastor Vanessa. You may pray, and we will close your program.
Thank you, ma'am. Father God, thank you today for being in the midst. Thank you, Lord, for your love, your protection. I just see right now in the spirit how God is putting his arms around all of us. I literally see that. And I just thank him for his presence and how it means so much for somebody who is dealing with this spirit, especially the manifestation, the demonic manifestation of the spirit of rejection. Thank you, Lord, today, because you sent your son to die for us so we can be free from guilt and shame. And that anybody that's dealing with this tonight, Father God, lift them up and let them know that not only do you love them, you're closest to those of a broken heart, however it is manifesting in their life, Father God. I thank you, Lord, that they surrender. I speak surrender in their life, that they hold their hands up and take their hands off of what does not belong to them. It's not what God spoke
to you before you were in your mother's womb. It's not what he spoke over you as you walk with him and are learning him. It's a lie that you're listening to that you don't have to practice and you don't have to entertain. So I thank you, Lord, today for the power of your word. It says if you, yeah. Who the Son has set free is free indeed. I thank you, Lord, today that you cause us to be more than conquerors. Thank you, Lord, today that open up the eyes of their heart so they can see you. And all they got to do is say, I don't want this no more, and I want help. I thank you, Lord, today for you hear those who cry out to you, and I believe you will answer them tonight. I thank you, Lord, today for peace. I thank you that person does not have to struggle. Energize them. Strengthen them. Help them to focus, whatever the case may be that they need, to be absolutely to destroy the root of rejection. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. My brothers and sisters, you have indeed heard a Rhema word on tonight from Pastor Vanessa Carver. So on behalf of everyone listening, Pastor Vanessa, I just want to thank you for your clarity, for your thoroughness. Amen. And we just praise God for your courage. Again, it's not always easy to teach about subject matters that people don't always want to hear. So I definitely commend you. Hallelujah. So now, nothing else, you have indeed been listening to the Spirit to Wounded No More with Pastor Vanessa Carver. We pray that you continue to have a beautiful and blessed weekend, that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do. And from my household to yours, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night, and God bless you from all of us here at Wounded No More and the Spirit Alive Network. Good night, family. Have a blessed
evening. Good night. Love you. Good night, family.
Love you.
Good night. I love you all.
Love you too.
Good night.